Welcome, everybody, to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. It's the first week of December, and as we know, pre-season training has officially got underway in the last 24 hours for most clubs. And I'm joined today by Lauren Wood and John Ralph, who have been out on the beat in Melbourne. Start with you, Lauren. Footy's back, and how have you found getting amongst it out there?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of weather, I must admit, in Melbourne, Reece. Obviously, the girls have been back on the track for a couple of weeks, but of course, men's footy in Melbourne, we sort of haven't seen that for, you know, about 5 or 6 months, given that they all shipped off to the Sunshine State. But I tell you what, Mother Nature absolutely turned it on in full Melbourne style yesterday. I went out to Tullamarine. Essendon, obviously, were one of the clubs that had their first sessions with their first to fourth year players, and there was rain, there was wind, there was sun. It sort of had it all in typical Melbourne style, as I say. But of course, it was Ben Rutten's first session at the helm. There was a bit of running, a sort of bit of grappling and wrestling, which was pretty unfamiliar, I must admit, given our sort of tendency for social distancing these days. But it was it was nice to see a bit of normality. Of course, we've got the masks off largely now in Melbourne, which is always nice. And it was good to see some contact, obviously some new faces out at Essendon too. Jai Caldwell having a bit of a run around, and some shocking haircuts too, which tends to be another sure thing at this time of year.
Good segue. Speaking of shocking haircuts, it's masks off and golf clubs down for you, Ralphie. You're back into the swing of things over there, mate.
I'm old and grumpy, so I'm trying to get out into the golf course. I'm trying not to get the training, but haven't quite got out there yet. That might be one for February. Really interested, Lauren, in the media performance of Ben Rutten. I thought he did a bit of a charm offensive a few weeks back on the radio stations and on the club's platforms. I thought he was just okay, and I think that's probably being generous. You know, a few of those truisms about wanting to be the hardest team to play against, and you know, we need to identify a brand. It seemed like he was a bit more impressive yesterday out at the hangar.
Yeah, he was in pretty good spirits. I think he was probably as excited as the players were. As he said, it was almost like a first day of school. You know, he's been an assistant coach for a while now, and obviously it was his first session officially at the helm without Woosha looking over his shoulder. We all know how that handover went out there. But I mean, he sort of said all the right things about how excited he was, you know, that the young players were anticipating and optimistic about what they'd be able to do without the likes of Joe Danaher, Fantasia, and obviously Adam Saad, who all left in the trade period. But the identity stuff was pretty interesting. That was the strongest thing that he said, and he sort of said it with a smile on his face, and as you say, the charm offensive was in full swing. But it was one of those ones where you go back and listen to the tape and you sort of go, well, hang on a minute. He's almost had a whack at how they were before. So he sort of made it pretty clear there'll be a lot of work going on the field. But, you know, we really need to rediscover what it means to be Essendon. I mean, there's been so much made about what happened off the field there in the last few years and in this off-season too. So it sounds like they might have lost their way a little bit there.
Well, here's my issue with Essendon. They don't really stand for anything right now. I mean, you know, are they a physical team? Are they, you know, an unsociable team? Are they a team that has breakneck ball movement? You know, are they a team that has an identifiable game plan? You know, are they a team that's, you know, full of hard asses? Are they a outside team that's just so quick that they run you off their feet? You know, are they a fit team? Not really. And so I think, you know, that was the thing that, as you said, that really stood out to me. You know, they're not even a team that's been fantastic off the field. We know, of course, back to the Asada stuff, but even that own goal with, you know, clearly, you know, telling their players they're going to cut their pay even for a month at 9% when that clearly was not the AFL-PA-approved deal. I just thought that was really shoddy. And so, you know, at least Paul Brasher has come in with some really strong ideas about how to improve the club, and he's interviewed a lot of people and done an internal review. And so I think that was really the first piece of that jigsaw puzzle. As I wrote in the Herald Sun, you know, this is a club that has got players like Andy McGrath and Jordan Ridley and Sam Draper, and they've got some get up and go about them. And so, you know, Wednesday's draft with those three young kids they'll bring in at pick 7, 8, and 9 is the chance to win back some supporters. Because right now, those 17,500 supporters that didn't extend from 2019 to 20, you're just looking at this club and they're saying, you know, we're pretty mediocre right now. So it's a significant enough season for a football club as I think we can think of for a very long time.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And that's it. That's exactly, I know You would be the same, Ralph. You're living in Melbourne. There's a myriad of sort of Essendon supporters amongst your friendship group, and the group text typically lights up whenever Essendon's in the news, and whether it's for good or bad reasons. But what you just said then about the identifiable nature of their game plan, that seems to be the frustration, particularly among Essendon fans, of like, who do they really have that when they get the ball, an opposition team goes, geez, we just really don't, we're really scared for that bloke to get the ball.
Well, I think
There's
he's
not
mapped out
really
of
anyone.
Hazard, so I
Adam
think he's
Sard's
now
probably
become football club,
yeah, that's
unfortunately.
exactly right. I think, they've obviously got an eye to the likes of Andy McGrath, who you mentioned then as well, sort of being that guy. And he was out there on Monday as well, the typical sort of senior players coming back early. Dyson Heppel was there, Michael Hurley, Paddy Ambrose, a few of those guys. But yeah, there's players like that that are just going to have to take that next step to get that sort of scare factor, aren't they?
Yeah, and no doubt the coach is going to be really hard on those senior players. I think the tail has wagged the dog, and that comes not from perceptions, but from Paul Brasher, the as I say, the new president, who's basically said, in the wake of the Asada issues, maybe we were too soft on some of these players. They were able to take liberty. So fascinating there. Another club that's just kickstarting their preseason is Collingwood, and they just announced today that they've officially re-signed the likes of Brodie Mychek and also Jordan Ngoi. A couple of those stories that Jay Clark has already reported upon. I think Jordan Ngoi is a fascinating story. I think he's such an exciting talent, but he's finished no better than seventh in the club's best and fairest in his 6 or 7 years of his tenure. Had a lot of off-field issues. He's up in an indecent assault charge that he has to appear in court again quite soon. So yeah, I think they've paid him good money. It's not exceptional money. He was looking for things like $1 million from Carlton if he was to move. Carlton said no thanks at all. And so yeah, when he does roll down to Collingwood again, I think a few players will be thinking, okay, he wasn't that keen to stay with us. He wanted the big bucks elsewhere. And so absolutely critical pre-season in the life of Jordan Ngoi to not only show that he's got elite talent, that he can put together a durable season, with 20-plus games as a relentless match winner. They want to play him more in the midfield, and that'll give him the chance to do that. So, yeah, great to sign him up along with Brodie Mychek. But you have to say on recent form, Mychek, who's a former VFL journeyman, he's probably been a more consistent match winner than Jordan Ngoi.
Jordan sort of gets the hype, doesn't he? Like it was always, whether it was because of the tattoos or the position that he played, he was always compared to Dusty, wasn't he? And what is he now? He's sort of at that age of, what is he, 24-ish? And I'm absolutely having a stab in the dark there. Jordan to go his age, it's not really my forte, but he is at that age of, as you say, if you're going to talk the talk, or whether your dad's going to talk the talk is probably more the point around town. It's you've got to walk at some point.
Yeah, there you go. 24, so he's 25 in March. Yeah, I mean, even in the final against West Coast, just extraordinary. A beautiful sort of goal that just floated and floated and went through on the left, and then that beautiful snap around the corner. And yet, in the final subsequent to that, he had what was it, 14 possessions of one behind. As Collingwood were well beaten by Geelong, and so we all understand he's got X factor. We all understand he's high end talent and his best stuff's great. But as for so many players, 5 or 6 years in, it's about ironing out those inconsistencies.
Very nice. Pulling no punches, guys, dissecting what's going on at Essendon and Collingwood. But Ralphie, you spoke about Ben Rutten maybe going on the charm offensive a couple of weeks ago. The other new coach in the competition, of course, is David Noble at North Melbourne. Have you had a chance to listen to him speak? He was obviously took training for the first time yesterday. What do you make of the early impressions of the new Kangaroos boss?
No, I think you couldn't be more impressed with him. He speaks, in real words, not, glib catchphrases. And as he said, I'm the kind of coach who, like North Melbourne, with its identity, I just want to get shit done. Work hard, roll my sleeves up, and that's why he's going to be such a good fit for the footy club. So yeah, he's interested in throwing around some positions. They're about to get the no number two overall selection, which will probably drop down to pick three. So look, they've got six really exciting young kids there. They've got some senior experience. I think the next couple of years is all about finding out where will they be in 50 games of footy. So, can they play two ruckmen? Can they play Tristan Szeri, who's a young 21-year-old? Yeah, clearly Todd Goldstein's the best, three or four ruckmen in the game. But how do they, probably sacrifice some of his star power to play Tristan? What do they do in terms of, playing a third tall forward there alongside Nick Larkey and Cam Zerha? They're interested in maybe trialling the captain in Jack Ziebel off halfback. They talked about potentially maybe even with young Jared Polek, turning him into a more defensive player. I think that'll be one of the great challenges of his coaching career, because he has been a downhill skier. He has been a player that's lacked a physical edge and a defensive edge. So he's got some challenges there. But I think, you know, a lot of people are sleeping on the ruse. Just think they've got a nice blend of offense and defense. And they're not going to play finals next year. But, you know, I think people talking about a 5 or 6 year rebuild probably don't, you know, haven't looked at the list as hard as they may well have.
Lauren, do you have any thoughts on the captaincy at North Melbourne at all? I know it's a question without notice, but do you think with the new broom coming through at the top with the coach that he will look at the captaincy, and do you think Zeeble's the right man to continue on?
Oh, I think you probably have to, don't you, Reece? Like, I don't know what Ralphie's position is on this, but after a year like that, as you say, there's been so much change. They had, 11 players go in one whack at the end of the season. You know, there's been much made of the handling of that. Of course, Marley Williams came out swinging. He was one of the ones to go. And Jai Simpkin, of course, the illustrious time trial winner. He wears that glory for the rest of the summer. He spoke on Tuesday morning about how much that hurt the group. So there might be a little bit of winning back to do. Obviously, they lost a lot of mates in those delistings, and then the subsequent ones that followed before kind of the list sizes were confirmed and all that sort of thing. But it's probably an opportunity more than anything else. You know, clubs like St Kilda, that obviously Brett Ratten came in a couple of years ago, they looked at their leadership model. I know Essendon last season in particular, they completely sort of revamped theirs, and that was what saw Zach Merritt out of the leadership group, and just sort of what they were looking for as well. So I probably don't consider myself or the footy landscape in the same realm as Winston Churchill, but as they say, you sort of never waste a crisis, as he put it all those years ago. And, you know, I would sit here and say that Jack Zeeble will remain the captain of North Melbourne Footy Club. I can't sort of see who would be the one to wrestle it from him. But I think to not look at it would probably be silly.
Yeah, and I think they'll just wait until the end of summer. And, you know, as is the way these days, and Security will do it as well, you know, you give these guys a summer to audition. So, you know, I think Zeeble's probably one more year. And the interesting one is Collingwood and Pendlebury. You know, like, obviously he's the best candidate right now. But, you know, maybe it's someone like Taylor Adams who might just, you know, shakes things up a little bit after a pretty turbulent year. You know, I think it's St Kilda as well. You know, Jack Steele's the one that's probably likely to take over from Jaron Geary. And that's not criticising Jaron. He's been an amazing servant. But, you know, I think, you know, the way that Steele played last year and his leadership, or this year and his leadership's been outstanding as well. So, you know, they've got some issues there. Like, some clubs across the competition have got some issues. Hawthorn's the other one too, where, you'd think that probably Jager O'Meara would take over from Ben Stratton, who was was retired, or, you know, made the decision, or was nudged into retirement by the club. So, yeah, lots of things to look forward to in the summer.
Before we wrap it up, off the top of the show, you mentioned some bad haircuts. Can you name and shame anyone before we go?
Oh, look, I shouldn't have said bad if I'm going to name and shame. We'll go for more interesting. I think, what have they been away about? Sort of 80-odd days, I think, Essendon, whereas Richmond, it was only sort of 40-odd before their group came back on Monday. But I don't know, Ralphie, you've got a young bloke who's he's still copping the haircut. I would imagine that mum and dad instruct the barber to give. But I tell you what, if he walks into the barber's next week and asks for the Sam Draper or the Nick Bryan, as was on show at Essendon on Monday, it's just the mullet is one thing, but it's the really harsh mullet of the complete, you know, zero or number one on the sides. And then incredibly long on top. So it's one of those ones that I don't think – my dad was a teacher at my school. I'm not sure whether it quite would have got past him, but they're certainly not taking a leaf out of Ben Rutten's book with his buzz cut at Tullamarine, that's for sure.
No, I've written about the most intriguing 1 to 4 year player for your club for Saturday's News Corp publications, and I did write, yeah, what would Dennis Pagan and a pair of shearers do with Sam Draper's haircut? So anyway, they moved to the beat of a different drum. So God love them, these young players.
Yeah, well done. I'll be glad just to see the back of the peroxide blonde hairdos for 2020 as well. That could be something different we can look forward to in 2021. But thanks very much for logging on, guys. Massive 24 hours coming up, of course, with the national draft on Wednesday, followed by the preseason and the rookie draft on Thursday. We'll have a full in-depth chat with our draft guru, Jordan Pinto, coming up. But otherwise, well done out there on the beat, guys, and thanks for joining us.
See you soon, Reece. Appreciate it.